What we're going to do this morning maybe is a little bit unusual, but we're going to spend a little bit of time thinking about the way that we hear. I want you to start in the 100th Psalm, because this is what the psalmist says: make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We're His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving, His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name. For the Lord, He is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and His faithfulness to all generations. Among other things, my question is this: how do we know a joyful noise when we hear one? But you know what? We all do. Every single one of us, you know, and you're able to distinguish from early on, you're able to distinguish the difference between a joys. That's a combination, isn't it, Scott? You're able to distinguish a noise that is joyful. You can hear different kinds of noises that right away put a smile on your face, and you know other noises that right away make you terrified, right away make you have a face of surprise. You know that these different noises can be expressed, and you right away feel some way. What makes a noise beautiful rather than just annoying? If I asked you to close your eyes and to just imagine the most beautiful sounds, I wonder what it is that you would hear. What would you put on your list of sounds that you want to hear again and again and again? I know some of us, there might be a school fight song or two that we would like to hear. I never tire of hearing Boomer Sooner. Maybe there's some particular brand, some particular style of music that you would just love to hear again and again. Maybe it's just one particular song that you want to hear again and again. Maybe it's ocean waves. When you think of a beautiful sound, you think of waves coming upon the shore. Maybe you're the type that your idea of a beautiful sound is applause, adoration for a performance you've given. Maybe it's the revving of an engine. Maybe it's rain on a rooftop. Maybe it's a creek or a stream. Stephanie Walton, who's now Stephanie Gilpin, she just got married on December 1st at a lovely little place out in Metcalf County. The day before the wedding, we went out to the location, you know, to have the rehearsal and all of that, and it was dark. It was late, and you could see off in the distance a bunch of trees, and that's about it. It was just so dark, but you know what you could hear? You could hear a creek, and it was beautiful. It was awesome. I just stood there and enjoyed that for a minute, that you could hear it. You couldn't see it, but you could hear it. It was beautiful. Laughter, somebody's voice, children. Let me take a moment to stress this. Parents, we love to hear your children. We hope that you'll be training them, but we love to hear your children. Don't be stressed out. Mothers in the audience, I know, you know, I stood up all here all the time, and Laura's had all the hard work to do. Mothers get stressed out. I had a mother say to me just recently, I love it when you put verses on the screen, because some of us mothers get distracted. But I tell you what, we love the sound of children. Don't stop bringing them. We love their crying. We love the sound. I didn't realize that it was a thing, but apparently back in 2014, there was a worldwide competition to determine the most beautiful sound in the world. The winner ended up being this: dusk at a frog pond. I listened to it. It sounds pretty nice. One expert said this: it sounds like somebody composed it, but it's really just a bunch of frogs hanging out in a pond. It is amazing to listen to. Of course it is. God's creation is amazing. There's so many wonderful, beautiful sounds if we'll just stop. There's even sounds that are not pleasant. Why, just what, 5 minutes ago, before I walked up here, we heard sirens outside. Did you hear that? There are some sounds that are not pleasant, but they're necessary. Sirens like that are going to get us help. We don't like to hear them, but it's going to get us help. Alarms in a building, we don't like to hear them, but they're going to get us safe. Alarm clocks, we don't like to hear them, but they're going to get us to school or work on time. Sounds we don't want to hear, but they're necessary. Here's what I want to stress. In all these things, what a blessing it is to hear. In recent days, I've been reminded of this in some very powerful ways. A few months ago, I was sitting right there on the front row, and I believe it was you, Scott, that Scott made that announcement that all of our song leaders make, you know, please silence your cell phones. And right as Scott said that, what did we hear? Da, 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 da. Somebody, you know, turning off there. And I thought to myself as I heard that, I love that sound. I love that sound because it means so many different things. It means somebody's getting ready to worship. Somebody is here. They could have been somewhere else, but they're here and they're getting ready to worship. It also means that someone has silenced their phone and it's not going to bother us and distract us later. But I just thought, that is really a great sound. And we heard it today. As the brother was coming up to the steps, the sound echoed through this room. Da, da, da. Somebody's getting ready. More recently than that, one sister, and I won't say, she probably wouldn't care, but I won't say her name because I didn't ask permission, but you see this picture here on the left of this bird in a tree? Just recently, this picture was sent to me by a beautiful, wonderful sister from here, and she said that she was going out to her car, and this bird was just singing, and it was so beautiful. She didn't have her phone. She got into the car, hoping that the bird was still. She got her phone out, took the picture, and the bird stayed. Normally, you know, they're gone like that. The bird stayed and kept singing. It was just so beautiful. And she said she just wanted to share it with me because it was such an expression. And she felt, you know, loved. And she felt that she wanted to acknowledge the power of God and all these things. She said it was just so beautiful. She didn't want to take it for granted. And then there's situations like this. See Charlie Gibson over there. I'm gonna talk about him. Lincoln, Charlie and Lauren's son, who just turned one in November. He goes in January to begin the process of having cochlear implants. Imagine a little boy just 1 year old. He's not heard the things that you and I have heard. But Lord willing, with this procedure, he will. And so just all these different things have been piling up, it seems, that we need to recognize what a blessing it is to hear and never take these things for granted. Let us be thankful for the blessing of being able to hear. But let me also stress this, that there's a huge, very serious obligation that comes with being able to hear. In Luke chapter 18, at verse 8, Jesus said it this way, take care or be careful how you hear. You see, there's an obligation, there's a responsibility on an audience, on a room, on a group. It's not just about the truth being proclaimed from the pulpit, as it were, but the Lord says, you better be careful. You better take care of how you hear. That's pretty encompassing. That's pretty wide. It could include things like Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, where it speaks of all those things that are true and just and lovely and noble. God says you dwell, you meditate upon those things. You make sure those are the things that you're hearing. And so the obvious implication is you clear out, you put a wall up, and you don't allow those things into your mind and heart that are going to corrupt who you are. Be careful about what you hear. That means who you are, where you are, who you surround yourself with, music you listen to, shows you watch. It goes through a lot of things. We're to meditate on that which is pure and lovely and wonderful. To the seven churches of Asia, if you begin there in Revelation chapter 2 and go through all of chapter 2 and chapter 3, you see that Jesus repeats seven times to each one of the seven churches. He says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He says it to everyone. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says. This is the way I would summarize that statement if you don't understand it. Jesus says, if you've been so blessed as to hear the gospel message, you better do something about it. If you've been so blessed as to hear the message, you've now got a grave responsibility to live differently, think differently, and speak differently. If you hear, you better hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So I want us to do this for just a few minutes here this morning. We're going to think about sounds that we should love hearing right now. Sounds that we should long to hear for later. And then certain sounds that every single man and woman must hear. So let's start here. Number one, some sounds, or really maybe just some words, that we should love to hear right now. I think about it this way, separated into categories like this, my family and my friends, what I want to hear from them. I think it starts with, I love you, doesn't it? What's better than that? Is there anything better than hearing from your family, I love you? It's a statement that when you're sad, it lightens your sorrow. It's a statement that when you're stressed out, it calms your nerves. It's a statement that when you feel alone, it assures you that there's others who care. You make such a difference when you say, I love you, and I love to hear those words right now, and I know you do too. What about the words like this, I forgive you, or I'm sorry? These are the words of restoration. These are the words that bring people back together. They heal hurt feelings. They put bridges across gaps. But what about this? What about hearing the words of repentance? In Luke chapter 15, you know very well, this is the place where we have the items that have been lost, the coin, the boy. And in Luke 15, we see in verse 21, the son says to the father, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. It is so beautiful to hear the sound of repentance. There's many, many more that we could list, of course, but let me ask you, what words do you really love hearing from your family and from your friends? Maybe we should turn it around and say it this way. What are the words that your family and friends should be hearing from you? Well, let's look at Scripture. In Ephesians chapter 4, it gives us a great working outline of things that you and I ought to be speaking and saying, and the things we should be avoiding saying to one another. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. Begin reading with me at verse 29. Ephesians 4, 29. The Bible says, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. And then finally, verse 4, let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. Among many other things, let me just say this. Don't deceive yourself. Don't lie to yourself. Don't convince yourself that there are certain situations, certain times, when you know that coarse, that crude, that in-your-face kind of language, you know, it's warranted here. I don't get that impression from Ephesians 4 and 5, do you? Let no corrupt, that filthy, vile, disgust, let no corrupt talk come out of your mouth. There's no caveat there. There's no asterisk there saying, except for when you're super mad, or except for when that person, man, they've just done you wrong, then. No, don't lie to yourself. To use language that is unbecoming of Jesus Christ is not at any time justifiable. The words we long to hear are those that build up and edify. And the words that others long to hear are words that build up and edify. The words our Lord looks down upon us and waits to hear are words that build up and edify. Then there's Colossians chapter 3. I want you to read this with me also. In Colossians 3, let's begin at verse 12. Colossians 3, 12. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, bearing with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. And then verse 14, and above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. There's ways that we should be speaking to each other if we're truly friends, if we're truly family. But what about from those that are, for lack of a better way of saying it, just from the world? Those who just we come in contact with, but they've never been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. They've never come to be obedient to the gospel plan of salvation. What are things we should long to hear from them? What about just this word, these words? I believe. You ever been studying with someone? You ever been in a situation around someone? Someone who's been a non-believer, someone who's been a rebel, someone who has been living selfishly, and they come to understand the truth of the gospel and they say, I believe. You ever heard that? Maybe many times what you've just heard is this, for most of us in this room, what you've heard is this. Someone standing here around this front row somewhere, and someone says, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, that He died for you and rose from the grave third day? Do you believe that? A lot of times they just say, I do. That's pretty sweet as well. What about this? It says in Acts chapter 8, I want you to look at this. Acts 8, Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, this noble man who has traveled great distances to be at a place of worship, and now he's going home and he's reading out loud from the prophet Isaiah. And as Philip gets in the chariot with him and they study together, he preaches Jesus Christ to this man. In Acts 8:36, after hearing about the gospel of Jesus, this is what the man says. See, here's water. What prevents me from being baptized? That's a wonderful sound. Then 39 says this. And when they came up out of the water, Philip and the eunuch, then he saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Have you stopped to think about that sound for a minute? Don't you just love, I know one of my favorite sounds in the whole entire world is this, the sound of a person being plunged in and then raised up from the waters of baptism. We got microphones up here above this so you can hear that sound also. So that when someone is plunged under that water and brought up again, you can hear the water dripping off of them, coming down off of them and receding down into the pool. Don't you just love that sound? Can I get an amen for that? Don't you love that sound? Oh man, I like that sound. I love to hear that. But let me ask you, if you love hearing those sounds, if you love hearing people say, I love you, if you love hearing people say, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, what are we doing? What are we doing to ensure that we will hear those sounds more and more? What are we doing? Secondly, what about this? What about the sounds that we should long to hear one day in the future? I think that a sound that we all should long to hear is what I'm just calling the heavenly chorus. Brother John read a little bit of this for us a minute ago, but be turning in your Bibles to Revelation 14. Revelation 14, it thrills and it challenges the mind to seek to imagine the sounds of heaven. That's one of the things in the book of Revelation. It's unmatched, unparalleled in the images that are painted, the images that are created, both of things that are terrifying as well as things that are beautiful. These images are conjured up that are otherworldly, they're divine. But there's also sounds that are brought to us. Things that John heard, and he would turn to see what it was that was making that amazing sound. It thrills. If you've not read through Revelation and if you've just been untouched, if you've not stopped to think, man, I really do wonder what that sounds like, we got a problem. Maybe we need to see if you've got a heart in there. Because read with me here at Revelation 14. Verse 1, I looked, and behold, on Mount Zion stood the Lamb, and with him 144,000 had his father's name written on their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven like the roar of many waters and like the sound of loud thunder. And the voice I heard, now listen to this type of voice that's being described. And the voice I heard was like the sound of harpists playing on their harps. I've heard a lot of voices. I've even heard a lot of beautiful voices. I don't know that I've heard a voice where I said, that sounds like harps playing. But he said, I heard a voice that sounded like many harpists playing. In verse 3, and they were singing a new song before the throne and before the four living creatures and before the elders. No one could learn that song except the 144,000 who had been redeemed from the earth. Is that a song? Is that a sound that you desperately long to hear? I can't imagine what it really sounds like, but I can't wait to hear it. Go to chapter 18 here in Revelation 18, down to about verse 22. Here in Revelation 22, most of the news is not good because most of the news is about negative things, that which is going to stop. Sounds that maybe you took for granted in this life, you're not going to hear anymore. Revelation 18, verse 22. When Babylon is overthrown, it says, the sound of harpists and musicians, of flute players and trumpeters, the sounds that we so loved and the sounds that we paid money to go and hear, be heard in you no more. This is for those who have been overthrown and punished. And a craftsman of any craft, maybe you took it for granted about those people who worked, you know, clanging things together, making things, putting them together. And you took it for granted they were building something that would help you later. It says those craftsmen, those things they're doing, will be found in you no more. The sound of the mill heard no more. See, there's some things that the Bible paints here in Revelation that I can't wait to hear. Other things that it says, if you've been found unrighteous, those things you used to like to hear, they're gone. Those sounds of celebration, those sounds of joy, separated from God, you don't hear those anymore. Do you long to hear the heavenly chorus? Well, what about this? What about hearing a welcome from the very Lord of heaven and earth himself? You know, we sing the song sometimes, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. You know why it's saying that? You know why it's saying it's sweet to hear this idea of grace? Because the author, the composer of that song was hoping to hear, was longing to hear one day the voice of God say, you're forgiven. Longing to hear the Father say, like the Father says in Luke 15, verse 24, the lost has been found. Do you want to hear that? Or what about this? Revelation chapter 3. If you're still there in Revelation, flip back to Revelation 3, 5. There where Jesus says this, there's coming a time for those who've overcome, those who've been bought by my blood, that he'll say this, Father, this one belongs to us. He says in Revelation 3, 5, I'll confess your name before the Father. That staggers the mind. That because of the blood of Jesus Christ, you and I can stand in such a place where the Son will say, Father, this one belongs to us. What about the opposite of that? The terror that comes from him saying, I don't know you. Matthew chapter 7, beginning at verse 21, remember it records there, there's coming a time on that judgment day when all men and women from every walk of life, from every time, will be calling out to him, Lord, Lord, don't you know us? And he'll say to some, no, I don't know you. That's as worst. That's as bad. It's as ugly and as terrifying as it possibly gets. But look at Matthew chapter 25. Look at Matthew 25. Turn there. The parable of the talents. You know it, but let's refresh our memories real quick. Matthew 25, where what he says to the two faithful men. Matthew 25, verse 21. Matthew 25, 21. The master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little, I'll set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. Then verse 23. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little, I'll set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. Do you long to hear Jesus Christ say to you, come in to a place of joy. Come in right now to a place of rest. If you long to hear those sounds, again, I ask, what is it you're doing today to ensure that you will hear those sounds tomorrow? If you really long to hear the heavenly chorus, if you really long to hear the Master say, come to a place of joy and be with me, if you really long to hear that, what are you doing today? Now, that brings us to the last thing that we must cover, and that's this, what every last man and woman must hear. It says in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, so faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. If you and I are going to have faith in the one that can save us, you and I must come to hear about the one who can save us. It says in the Gospel of John, at the end of the Gospel of John, the end of John 20, he says, these things were written so that you might come to know and believe in Jesus Christ, the one who gives life. Every single person has to know what Jesus did. This is the gospel here. Every last person, there's not a single soul that's ever been brought to this earth who can go through life without hearing about what Jesus did. Here's the quick rundown. If you look at these verses that are on the screen in front of you. John 1:14, Jesus came to this earth. The Word became flesh. Why did he do that? Well, he came to destroy the power of death. He came to destroy the works of the devil. Hebrews 2:14 through 18. He came to this earth. And he died. Mark chapter 15, verses 33 through 39. He died, as it says in 1 Peter 2:24, to bear our sins in his body on the tree. But he didn't just die. It didn't end there. He then rose from the grave, as it says in Mark chapter 16, verse 6. Why are you looking here in this tomb? He's not here. He's risen. Go to Galilee where he is. He told you he'd meet you there. He arose from the grave in order to be our guarantee. He arose from the grave in order to conquer death and then show us, promise us, assure us that we will follow him in resurrection. Note down 1 Corinthians 15, 20 to 23 for that biblical bit of information. But he didn't just arise from the dead, then he ascended to the right hand of the Father. Acts chapter 1, verse 9. And he did that so that we could have someone who intercedes on our behalf. Hebrews 7, 24 and 25. And finally, one day, Acts 1, 11, he's coming back. He's coming back to judge the world. 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 to 17. So look at that. Here's what Jesus did. Philippians chapter 2, John 1, 14, the Word became flesh. He lived here, he died here, he conquered death here, he ascended to the right hand of the Father, and he's coming back one day. That is what Jesus did. And now, what every single person must know is what Jesus expects. It begins here, Matthew 22, 37 through 39. He expects, no, he demands that every last one of us love God with all our heart and love one another, love our neighbor as ourselves. That's what every single person, it's not optional, every person must do. He also says, Jesus himself says in John 8, 24, we must believe that he is who he claimed to be. Unless you believe that I am he, you shall die in your sins. It's not an option. You must believe he is the Son of God. You must believe he's the promised one. Jesus said in Luke 13, verse 3, unless you repent of your sins, you shall all likewise perish in your sins. Again, it's not an option. You must come to acknowledge that you're a sinner before the perfect and holy God, and you must repent of sins. Must be done. Matthew 10, 32, Jesus said this, if you don't confess me before men, I won't confess you before the Father. 33, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before the Father. Again, not an option. Romans 10, 9 and 10, this is not just a good idea. It's not just something that we do to make us feel better. We confess Jesus Christ in order to be faithful to Jesus Christ. And then there's this, Jesus himself said in John 3, 3 to 5, unless you're born again, unless you're born of water and the Spirit, you don't see the kingdom. Here's how serious Jesus was about every single one of us. Because there was a crowd that one day when John the Immerser, when he put Jesus down under the water and came up with him out. That same sound that Philip and the eunuch, what they heard as the eunuch was put under and came up, they heard that sound of a man being brought in, being translated from the world, the kingdom of Satan, brought into the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Born again. And so you see, Jesus says, this is not an option. This is the way you are transferred from the kingdom of the devil into the kingdom of the Son of Jesus Christ. You must be born again, immersed, buried with Jesus, and raised with Jesus. That's what Jesus expects. We could say a lot more things, but I think that's sufficient for now. We know joyful sounds. We know sad sounds. The trumpet of God in Philippians chapter 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 speaks of the trumpet of God that will sound when the Lord returns. Have you thought that that one sound, it's not that there's going to be a certain sound for righteous people and a certain sound for rebels. One sound and will simultaneously be a sound of great joy for those who have been bought by the blood and at the same time a sound of terror for those who don't know him. When the great crowd heard all that Jesus was doing, it says in Mark chapter 3, verse 8, when they heard what Jesus was doing, they came to him. When we hear what Jesus has called us to do, how do we respond? It's such a great blessing to hear. God has created so many amazing and wonderful things for us. It's a blessing to hear. But remember, we now live under a great obligation. We've heard the message of God, and now what are we going to do about it? As we read from Revelation, he who has an ear to hear, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So I ask you this morning, if you've been so blessed as to hear the gospel, what will you do? Jesus calls you to come while we stand and sing.